Good evening. Good to see each and every one of you. We're in the fifth chapter of Acts. We'll be really starting verse 12, but we'll go back and review a little bit. Who has sold some possessions in the first part of Acts 5? Ananias and Sapphira. Okay. What did Satan fill the heart of Ananias to do?
Lying to the Holy Spirit.
And also, when you lie to the Holy Spirit, you lie into God. Good. What indicates he was not required to give the full price? Well, when you had it, didn't you have control of it? It was yours. And then when you sold it, didn't you still have control of it? But apparently, you know what they did? They kept back part of it, of the money that they sold of the land. And they apparently said, this is all we got for it. Is that right? What happened to Ananias? What was the last words that Ananias heard? You lied to God. Then he died. After hearing those saying, he died. Now, what do you think of the effect that would have upon the people? You think it having an effect on them? Would be. If you were in there around that particular time and Peter's talking to him and telling him that, you know, what you have done and that you've lied, where he's told him, he said, you have lied to God, and he fall down dead immediately. That would put some fear in me, I think. What did Peter ask Sapphira? Raise your voice. They can't hear you over there.
Did they sell the land for so and so price?
Okay. It said, asked him, is that the price? And she said, yes. What did Peter say they had agreed to do?
Tempt the spirit.
He had no idea. And she didn't either, I'm assuming, that they had no idea what they were doing. They thought that maybe they can see man, and they probably could with that. But Peter says you cannot test the Holy Spirit and deceive him that way. Upon whom did the fear come?
All the church.
All the church and? Yeah. The fear came upon them. Here's a little diagram for you. You see them there at their land, and they count the money and bring it over there. Then you see them fall down dead, and they're carrying him out. Now, it was 3 hours later that Sapphira come in. Now, what in that three-hour period was, she didn't know that he died. I don't know. It doesn't say, but that's not very important. But they didn't have time to... She didn't have time to change her story then. So when she came in, she said that, yes, they agreed upon that. They said that was the price. Yeah, that's what we sold it for. And he told her, he says, see those young men over there, the feet of those young men? They're coming back and had buried your husband, and they're going to take you. And she immediately fell down dead. And so you can see the fear that would come from that, the all of it, the tire from that. It's trying to deceive God is what Peter was trying to tell him. It says, you can deceive man, but you're not going to be able to deceive God. And see what the consequences was when they tried it. They immediately died. Is there any questions upon the first 11 verses? Anybody want, or any comments you want to make about it? Anything? All right. Let's begin with verse 12. We'll read down to verse 16. We'll come back. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dare join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Okay. And the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. What did they do that for? What's the purpose of doing the miracles, wonders, and signs? What's the purpose? Okay. Confirming their words, that there is authority and power behind their words. They do have the power to do these signs and these wonders and these miracles things and things too. They're seeing these things. Okay? These people are seeing these signs and these wonders. And they're speaking, preaching to them about Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. And the lesson they had talked to them about, you have crucified him, but he has risen, and we are witnesses of that. We have seen him raised up, and we're preaching to you, and he, with his resurrection, he has brought repentance and baptism. He has brought salvation to you. And that's showing, this is what we're preaching, that this is true. That's the reason we can do all these things, all these signs and wonders. And he says, they were all in one accord. And on Solomon's porch, this is part of the temple here, the area of the temple. And he said they were there. And they've been talking about when the first day of Pentecost, how that they've all been of one accord. They've been all together, unified. They're set their minds set upon Jesus as a salvation. And that's the reason they're having this harmony. But it says in verse 13, yet none of the rest dare join them. Okay, who's the rest? And none of the rest joined them. Who's the rest? Anybody?
those that were probably like the Levites and the priests, the people of those officiated at the temple, perhaps.
Could be. I think it's more inclusive. What had just happened? They tried to deceive. They were hypocrites. And I think he's talking about those class of people that were not really believers firmly. And he said, none of the rest then dare join them. Who's a them? Apostles, mainly, I think that's a good thing. But it also could be probably the church, the family. Could be include both of them. But those people, those hypocrites, when they saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, and like I said, this brought fear upon the people. And they were in awe of this. This fear, too, is reverence thing of the power. You know, this came down from God. Peter says, I'm going to strike you. He didn't say anything about striking you dead. And he said, like I said, with Ananias, the last word he heard is that you lie to God. And then he falls down dead. And so these people then see, these one I think are the hypocrites, the one that's not the true believers, or the rest of them, that they were afraid to join them now. But the people esteemed him highly. those unbelievers, the ones he's preaching to, those people are the ones that esteem them highly. Mainly, I think he's talking about the apostles, but I think it's also, it can be inclusive of the people, the other believers. Because what? They can see that they're all together. He just talked about it in verse 12 that there in Solomon's porch, he's out there preaching and teaching to them, and they're all together with one accord. And so they see what's happening here with them, and he says that those people there doesn't want to join us, but these other ones, they want to join it. You would think normally when you see something like that happen, that the fear comes up, that that's going to shy people away. But if you see in verse 14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, instead of hindering the gospel, actually it increased the people. When they saw all this, what was happening here with these signs and these wonders and these miracles that the apostles were doing, and they were, like I said, Bruce said, they're confirming the word, showing that this has authority, there's power behind the words. You know, I can sit up here and talk all day about that, but I cannot do a miracle. But they could. They're up there teaching this, and they said, look, we're doing this by the authority of Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Messiah. This is the one we're preaching to you. Where do you think we got this power from? It's from him. And it just is showing you his authority in the name of him. He has this authority. And he's offering you repentance and baptism. He's offering you eternal life. He's offering you salvation. And that's what these miracles are showing you here. And it shows though in verse 15, it says, so they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. You think the shadow of Peter cured them? What? I can't hear you. If you're going to speak up. Huh? But do you think they were healed? All right. All the power they have come through is through the power of God. But I think yes. Why would he even present this if it wasn't even happening? And then he talks about this word's coming out too. In verse 16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding city. Do you see how this is spreading? You got the surrounding cities of Jerusalem around about there. They're hearing what's happening in Jerusalem. And so you have multitudes of them coming in also, bringing sick people and those who were tormented. Not only sick people, but those that had demons were committed. And they all were healed. All were healed. There's not one of them that could not be healed. See, it had an effect. Now, like I said, now the word begins. It's beginning now. You see, we've been doing it. No, we're talking about a period of time here. I don't know what the time is, but there's a period of time that's going on here. It's not a day here and a day there, maybe a week, so maybe months. I don't know. But there's a period of time here, and then word is spreading now. Now it's outside of Jerusalem. What's going on in Jerusalem, that these apostles, these men over there, are preaching this word about Jesus, and they're doing these great miracles, and everybody's getting healed from their sickness. And not only that, they bring people in that's got demons, unclean spirits. And they're being healed also. So you can see how the word is beginning to spread. Okay? Now, verse 17. Let's go on down and read 17 to 21. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison's door and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Okay, you see what's happening, that this gospel, this teaching is spreading now. Well, the high priest, what? He rose up. He said, "Wait a minute. We are going to have to do something about this." Because apparently he's a Sadducee, and the people around him are Sadducees. But, you know, they're not all Sadducees, but they're Pharisees and also in the Sanhedrin and the council and everything. But he's talking about here these Sadducees. What are they preaching?
Resurrection. They don't believe
it. That's right. They don't believe in resurrection. So he said that the high priest, well, he rose up and said, "Look, we're going to do something about this." And those that there, they were filled with what? What's another word for that?
Jealousy.
Huh? Yeah, that's a good one. Another one is anger. When he rose up, I think that means, you know, he he was mad at those guys for preaching this, these apostles here. And said, and he got them all together there and he said, "Now look, they are against us. And we're the ones in authority here. We're the council, we're the Sanhedrin. We're the rulers of the Jews here. And they're doing preaching right the opposite. They're preaching just about this Jesus, the Nazareth resurrection from the dead." Verse 18, "And laid their hands on the apostle." Now, who was put in prison the first time? Thank you. Speak up. Not only me, these people back here can't hear what you hear. It's just not me. Peter and John, but now you got all the apostles. Now, they had Peter and John the first time, but now they got all the apostles. And he put them in common prison. That means that's just like, you know, you're with a thief or a murderer or whatever. We're going to put you in prison. And they did. They put their hands on them and laid their hands on them and took them to prison. Like, put around by the neck and say, "Here, you're going to prison." But, verse 19, "At night, an angel on the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out." Okay? Now, what do you think is unique about having an angel of the Lord open the doors? You know why? What's unique about that, I think? Sadducees don't believe in angels. Now here you got an angel open up the door. They don't believe in resurrection. They don't believe in angels. And you got here, they're preaching what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. And the angel tells them, "You go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Now, if you was one of the apostles that and you saw this happening, what would you be thinking? "Well, you know, I'm in prison here. I've been out here preaching now this, and now what has got me? I'm in common prison now, preaching the word. Is the Lord, what is the idea of this? How are we going to be preaching the thing if we're in prison now this way?" Lord took care of them. He provided for them. "So I'm taking care of you. You go preach the gospel. I'll take care of you. Okay? You go now and that back in that temple. You go back to the temple where you came from, where they got you there for preaching." He said, "But I want you to go back and tell the people again, tell them about life. About Jesus wrote. Okay.
Chapter 4.
Right.
So there's no question about who they're going to obey.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Good point. Very good. And now, and when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and talked. Angel told them to go do that, and what did they do? Well, they went there early in the morning. Well, yeah, there's going to be people there early in the morning, too. So I imagine once they get there and they start preaching and the word gets out, did you know the apostles are over here preaching now? And they'll start getting around here. And they heard that, and they did what the angel told them to. He took us out of prison that night, and now we're over in the temple early the next morning preaching. Continue on in verse 21. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought there. Okay. Now, they're over in the temple area preaching, but apparently the council, the Sanhedrin, and different section, different part of it, doesn't know that they're out there preaching or teaching right now. Because they come in and say, let's call all the people here, let's get them together, all the council. We're going to get all of us together here, and then we'll go over and call them to bring them over from prison.
Dale,
yes.
That's important, too, because he's saying the full council, the full Sanhedrin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just part of the Sanhedrin, it's the full Sanhedrin.
Well, it's the council together with the elders of the children of Israel, too. Okay? This is the authority here with the Jews. And he tells them that you got the high priest coming here, and let's put all these guys here. Now you go get these prisoners we got. You go get them. Verse 22. But when the officer came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the man whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Okay. So, you're the officer and you're going over there to get the prisoners in prison. Okay. Indeed, we found the prison shut securely. He's come back and tell you, now look, you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to tell you what was happening there. When we got there, the prison was shut securely. That means the doors were locked. Okay? But they were shut securely. And there were guards standing on the outside before the doors. But when we opened the doors that were shut, that were locked, we found no one inside. Can you believe that? He is trying to explain to them, now look, in a way here that we really look for these people. This place was secure. And then he basically said, I don't know where they're at. We hunted for them, searched for them, whatever. But when we opened up that, I tell you, it was secure. And you got guards outside and nobody knows what happened to these guys. We don't know what happened to the apostles. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wonder what the outcome would be. Okay. What do you think that means? What the outcome is going to be? You got all the council here, they're talking about this, who these people are. It said you got the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest. And they wonder what is going to be the outcome. What do you think he means by that question or thought? Now, let me tell you this. If you were the high priest and all these council things, would you want to get out that you lost your prisoners and you don't know where they're at and you don't know how they got out? Well, what do you think that's going to make us look like? Idiots, fools, whatever. And we're the leaders. What are the people going to think about us when they find out about this? Somebody knew that the prisoners that they had there were arrested, and so he comes in. And who this person? We don't know. Said someone came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." The people that you put in prison are now outside, are in the temple, different section, different part of the temple, and they are preaching and teaching the people what you had told them not to do. So, then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence. May give you the impression that the first time around that they did have some trouble. I don't know. But maybe not, because it says, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. They were careful how they got a hold of these guys. You know, we were here the last time, but they put them up, went up there, got them by the hands and got them onto them. Well, this time, they did it a different way. Because they did not want to have to start any trouble, any violence here. Here, these are the officers, the officers of the temple here and thing, and the Sanhedrin here, and they're afraid of people now. Because they're fear of the people that they will revolt against him. They don't want to get out that these guys got out of the prison. And we don't know how they got out. And they're out there now teaching what that was the reason we put them in prison. For preaching and teaching Jesus. And here they're out there doing it now. What does this make us look like? And so they got them. In verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them. Now, here's the question. If I was a high priest, this is just me talking now, my first question would not be this. You know what my first question would be? Boys, how did you get out of prison? I really want to know how you did that, guys. That's a wonder, that's amazement. No, they don't want to hear none of that. That's the reason he didn't ask that question. He doesn't want anybody to know that these guys got out this way that we don't even know how they got out. Freddie?
Another secular incident like this happened when the Lord was put in the tomb and they put the guards in. This is not the first time something like this happened.
That's right.
No. John's message, it was like, we
Well, I want you to look at the difference between here and in Acts 2, when Peter gets up there and preaches to them, how the people receive the word of gospel from that cave, compared to these people here, the people in authority, and how they receive the gospel. There's a world of difference between the two. He tells them now look, we told Peter and John, did we not strictly now command, not just command, it was a strict command, you not to teach in this name. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Okay? The doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, about Jesus of Nazareth, what he is, the Messiah, our Savior. And intend to bring this man's blood on us? I mean, we're not murderers. And you want to say that we're murderers here? Are you saying this man's blood on us is innocent blood? What did the people cry out when they wanted to crucify Jesus? You remember? Huh?
His blood be on us.
Do you not remember that? Didn't you say, you people now, didn't y'all say that? The blood will be upon us and our children? And that's what he's asking here. He said, now, we're not murderers here. But Peter and the other apostle answered and said, okay, here Peter talks about another apostle's agreement with this. We ought to obey God rather than man. Okay. Now, what did you talk about here? Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? Don't you know who we are? We're the power here. We're the one with authority. And we tell you not to do this. And we strictly command you not to do that. And then Peter comes along and says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Like what he said before. Now, here's the choice. We're going to obey you, the government, or we're going to obey God, if they are not coincide each other. If the command of man is against the command of God, which one are you going to obey? Well, we're going to obey the supreme being. We're going to be obeying God and not man, not the government, not the one on authority on this earth. We're obeying God and his laws and his commands. That's what he's talking about. Now, if you notice this, I put this in bold because I think this is a bold statement, what he's talking about here with this. This is in front of the Sanhedrin, the council here. And there's kind of arch around like that and circle around him like that. And they're right in the middle of it. And he gets up and he tells you, he says, look, here's your answer to number one. We ought to obey God rather than man. Now, the other one about the man's blood. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered. Oh, now, what word did he use here? Did Peter say murdered by hanging on a tree? You got something, Kenny? Or are you just stretching?
So that's the kind of people they want to be.
Okay.
So we've got a situation here that
they're
not used to experience.
Yeah. Like I said, this to me, these statements here is bold, what he's talking about. And he said, the God of our Father. Now, who did this? God of our fathers. Who do you serve? Do you not serve the God of our fathers? This is the God that I'm talking about. He raised up Jesus. Now, that, see, it's going to hit him a point right here. Whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Now, if you'll hold that thought, we'll continue at Sunday. Ready?